Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, but do this with gentleness and respect. You may be seated. And that was not the text for the sermon. The text for the sermon is the first lesson from Acts chapter 17. And it's titled, What Paul Said That Made Them Mad. It's a fascinating thing to watch as this develops, because they didn't get mad at him. At least, not at first. And so you kind of have to go into this and say, well, what did Paul say that didn't make them mad? These philosophers, these Epicureans and Stoics and everything else. And by the way, the word Stoic comes from the Greek word for porch. So it's the philosopher of the porch. Go figure. Paul's in Athens. That's the seat of learning of the ancient world. It's where Socrates and Plato and Aristotle had taught. And now it's a gathering place of philosophers, and these philosophers seems like all that they want to do is learn new things, find new ideas. It's an entertainment culture, isn't it? And Paul walks around Athens, and as he does so, he sees temple after temple and idol after idol, and he wonders about this. And don't they know any better what the very word God means? God is not wood. God is not metal. God is God. You don't make God. God makes all things. And he keeps on wandering through and comes across this one dedication to the unknown God. Well, that's a good starting place. Because if you talk with people and ask them, do you know everything there is to know about God? Well, not even any of us will say yes. To the unknown God, to the God who is difficult to know and parts of him are not revealed and parts of him are difficult to understand, to the unknown God. And as he goes around preaching Jesus Christ crucified and risen for our forgiveness, for our eternal life. As he goes around telling about Jesus, he's invited into the Areopagus. Why do they invite him? Something new. That's what they want. Entertainment culture. Something new. But it presents an opportunity. And Paul goes. He's going because he's going to tell them about Jesus, and that's why he's sent, and that's what he does at every opportunity. So he goes. He goes into the school, the Areopagus. And he says a whole lot of things that didn't make them mad. If you go out on the streets in our culture, there's a whole lot of things you can say about religion that won't get people mad. You can say, we are called to live a moral life. Love your neighbor. Do good works. You can say, there's a God. They won't get mad about that. You can say, we believe that we came from someplace and are going to someplace. Nobody will get mad at that. And Paul goes on. So here's the things he tells them that didn't make them mad. God made the world. He's Lord of heaven and earth. God doesn't live in temples. Even the philosophers knew that. Even the Greeks knew that. Many who went to the temples to worship these different deities, they knew that a true God does not need a roof over his head, or a bed, or food, three meals a day. They knew that. Okay. From one man he made every nation, boundaries and times and dwelling places, and that our purpose in life is to seek God, to somehow try and find him and get to know him. They knew that. And Paul goes on. He's not far from each of us. He's not distant and removed. That would have perked up some ears, because many of these other deities that they worshiped, they believed, didn't care much about what happened for us and to us. And so you had to get their attention by doing different things. And Paul goes on. We are his offspring. Okay. The last thing he said that didn't make them mad was that God commands all people everywhere to repent, because there's a day when he will judge. So far, religion in general. Religion in general is fine. You can go anywhere in the world with religion in general. But now comes the point. Paul says in the last verse of our reading, he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And with that, they don't want to hear any more. Why is that? Well, everything that went before that, they could say, well, this is just Paul's guess. This is fine. Mix that in with all of the other beliefs. Stir it up together and you get some sort of religion. But now Paul is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one Savior. Jesus is the name by which we must be saved. Only one who is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father any other way than through him. Only one sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Only one Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only one chosen to judge the world. Only one who has ever laid down his life for you, shed his blood for you, hung on the cross for you, face the judgment for you, only one. Only one who has then conquered in the fight against sin and death. Only one who has faced down the devil and defeated him. And this is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no other Savior. There is no other blood that can cover our sins. Only Jesus. So Paul heads out into the world preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. He tells the Corinthians, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In every sermon, every teaching, every lesson for Paul, it is Christ from beginning to end. And that is who he sets before the world, because there is only one name that makes a difference in eternal destiny, and that is the name of Jesus. What's more, Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship where Jesus says, because I live, you will live, and he makes it personal. I will ask the Father. He will send another comforter to be with you forever. I will come to you. That's all the gospel lesson. You are in me and I in you. And Jesus makes it personal. So we were sitting at a restaurant one day, out with a missionary that was visiting. And as the waitress was getting ready to take the orders, this missionary turns to her and says, first of all, what do you think about Jesus? He told us that that was an interesting question that he had learned to use because everybody has an opinion. What do you think about Jesus? And there was a brief conversation. And then he asked her, is there anything that I can pray for you? Because we're going to have a table prayer and I want to include you in the table prayer. So it's not just an idea, it's not just a theory, it's not just idle talk, it's we're going to talk to this Jesus about you. What would you like us to say? It's interesting watching that happen because it's personal, isn't it? It's a personal relationship with a Savior who has said, I care about you. I want you to live forever. I want you in my kingdom with me. I want you for eternity and for eternal life, because eternity and eternal life, without you there, it would not be the same. Not just in the words he spoke to his disciples, not just in the prayer that he prayed, which we will hear somewhat about next Sunday, but also, it would not be the same without you. And then he went to the cross. So Christianity is a relationship where you didn't think up Jesus as an idea. You didn't go wandering and searching the world for him. He came searching for you. Time and again, he speaks his word, and you hear that word of God, and it enters into the heart and enters into the soul, and you know you have heard the word of God when you hear the words of Jesus. And so Paul stands there at the Areopagus that day, and he tells them about Jesus, who wishes for them not to be lost, but to know salvation. And on that day, when he judges the world, he would very much like for them to be welcomed into eternal life. And most of them didn't understand. Immediately after the final verse that we read, they say to Paul, oh, we'll hear you some other time. Please go away. Thanks for coming. Now leave. But some heard the word of God. Some heard the message of salvation. And that's the way it has been for thousands of years. The word of God enters into hearts and souls and calls us and invites us, and we know that we have been called by God, and then everything changes. because we find in Jesus the one who sweeps away the sin and the one who gives eternal life, the one who calls us and makes us his own. This is the one that Paul is preaching, the one who will return on that day. He will judge the world. May God grant that each one of us will hear him say, "Enter into the joy of your master." In Jesus' name, amen.